Hey there, real quick before we get into tonight's episode, just kind of wanted to mention something real quick. We recorded this episode on Tuesday night, and obviously the next day, the news broke about the football team playing at the new temporary stadium on Lakeside Field, something that is super exciting, and we are all thrilled about the possibility and the opportunity to be playing there this upcoming season and the following one before the new Ryan Field is ready. Obviously, we aren't able to talk about that right now, but don't worry. We will be back next week and really dive into it. All of us have our thoughts on it, and it's going to be really, really exciting. But until then, enjoy the show. Hey there. We're the Westlaw Pirates, and welcome to the show. Here to share thoughts on Northwestern athletics and college sports with thoughts and analysis from the visceral to the statistical. We run our tailgate with the red pirate flag flying high above as we give no quarter, especially the fourth. I'm Sam Walter.
I'm John Lacombe.
And I'm Eric Skouspo.
Well, we have a very special episode. We're back. Took a little break after the first round of the NCAA tournament. Kind of catch our breath. You know, get through the end of March Madness with a couple good championship games. Very, very well watched women's game. Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina. I mean, hell, that was incredible. Amazing game. And then just the juggernaut that was UConn basketball taking down Purdue last night.
By the way, like what, 2.5 weeks ago, we said on this podcast, this very podcast, and I think I quote when I say, if UConn plays Purdue for the national title, they're going to win by double digits.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That one definitely went exactly. And credit to UConn for absolutely destroying the upper fourth of the Big Ten on route to this national title. And yes, we have to include ourselves in that group. Sam, it's funny. You talk about catching our breath. I ain't caught my breath yet. I'm gonna be honest. And I think when you see everything that's going on right now with us, and of course, like, you know, we haven't even gotten to like our major hard spring sports pivot. It just ain't that kind of year. It ain't that kind of year for catching our breath. And I think we're all definitely winded at this point, but I think we're just going to keep powering through, and then there's going to come some time probably in mid to late June where we're just all going to pass out and then wake up sometime around when football's starting. But for right now, man, it just keeps coming fast and furious.
I mean, our summer previews just got longer, adding four more teams to our summer previews. So.
Right, exactly. Look, people, we're putting in the good work is what I'm saying. We're giving it all for you. We're clocking in and out every day.
So tonight, we've got some amazing lacrosse, amazing softball to talk about. We've got some news of our own that is really exciting, and we'll touch on that a little bit later. But first off, we wanted to talk with Jacob Schmidt, the executive director of TrueNU, have him back on the show. Some really, really cool things going on with TrueNU. Just looking forward to getting updates and to talk about a fundraiser that they're running, Remembering Ryan Field, something that's really, really cool, and look forward to talking with Jacob about that. So without further ado, let's go to Jacob now. Well, we are thrilled to be joined tonight by Executive Director of TrueNU, Jacob Schmidt, back on the pod once again. You know, we talked to you a little while back, but it's always great to have you on, and we got some really cool stuff to talk to you about. But first of all, Jacob, thanks for coming back.
No, you bet, guys. Thanks for having me twice in, 5 or 6 months. Always fun. So look forward to this.
I was going to say really quickly, we were just talking before the pod that it's like, yes, 5 or 6 months, but an awful lot's happened in that gap.
Yeah, there's. I mean, and we'll get into it a little bit, but the ever-changing landscape, and that doesn't then even speak to the performance of our teams and the fun we've had with football and basketball and plenty of others here down the stretch of the academic year. So yeah, there's a ton going on, no question.
I mean, it's just wild. Just how do you stay up on just the constant changing landscape of NIL? And like, it's just insane. I mean, looking at it from where I'm sitting from afar, it's like, how?
Yeah. No, it's
how do you do it? Like, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the ever changing goalposts of this game.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a trick, right? And when you look across the country, there's a bunch of my peers, people doing what we're doing, who have to sort of just watch and react, because, you know, one day you can't do something, and the next day a state like Virginia or Tennessee grants an injunction, and that allows the NCAA to basically lay down across the country, and all of a sudden now you can do something that 24 hours prior you couldn't. So there's you read a lot, you talk to a lot of folks who are in this industry, you get to know other individuals leading collectives across the country. You trust, you know, sort of some industry leaders and industry experts, and frankly some publications that have the pulse. They know what's going on, and from a legal standpoint, from a market standpoint, you just pay attention as best you can, and you talk to each other, you ask questions, and then, you know, you lean on your institution a little bit too, right? Because they're going through this the same way we are, but just from a little bit of a different lens. But, you know, Northwestern, they're an Altius school. Altius is one of the best in the country in terms of NIL consulting, and they're on 25 or 30 campuses. And so they have very good intel, and they know what's happening across the country and what other schools are doing and how they're maybe adapting or pivoting or embracing different rule changes. So we lean on those folks from time to time. And, you know, that's the federal piece. And then you've got state law, right? And the Illinois state law, which is currently being amended, sort of in preparation for some other changes to come. You know, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts. We need to keep a close eye on, because again, we're always going to follow the rules, but we also want to be sort of tiptoeing the line, right? We want to push the envelope where we can in order to compete with our peers. So we need to know exactly where that line is so we can do our best to fight for these programs and push the envelope.
Jacob, maybe in the interest of those who maybe didn't listen to the last time we had you on several months back, just to kind of catch folks up a little bit. I mean, essentially, At that time, TrueNU was very much focused on facilitating donations to the collective that would essentially pay athletes for charitable activities throughout Chicagoland, in Evanston, et cetera. What significant changes have, if any, have occurred, you know, for the way TrueNU is operating since we last talked?
Yeah, the short answer is not much, right? We continue to pound the pavement, or I should say, pound the rock, right? We are trying to raise as much revenue, aka fundraise, as much as we can to get behind our athletes and to support what this whole NIL thing has become. And we talk to everybody. We tell everybody the same thing. Look, we didn't make these rules, right? It's still a polarizing topic. There are people that can't wrap their head around compensating athletes. And then, you know, the NIL space, right? I think the intent was one thing 3 years ago, and here we are, you know, frankly, paying athletes to play their sport through third parties. Right. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people. And frankly, it doesn't make sense to me. But that doesn't matter. Right. That doesn't matter. What matters is there's a new set of rules, and we need to play within them. We need to make sure that these programs have two fists in the fight relative to recruiting and retaining their best players. And what does that mean? Well, it means Boo Booey. It means selling out Welsh Ryan. It means getting to Brooklyn and giving UConn the best game they had all tournament. Right. That's what this means. And so, you know, since the last time we talked, we've made some great strides, right? We continue to raise funds. You know, we're doing our best to market better, communicate better. We're trying to get the word out to the masses, right? Our strategy early was sort of top down, trustees, big time donors, families who have names on spaces around Northwestern, right? People that everybody would kind of recognize. And those folks are with us, right? The mission resonates. Everybody understands why we need to embrace this and do our best to compete in it. Now we're working to get to the masses. We're working to get to all the former athletes. We're working to get to every season ticket holder, every fan who loves to watch these programs compete on the pitch, the court, the field. And so we need their support. And again, it's polarizing. We're not going to get everybody. We understand that. That's okay. So we continue to grow. We continue to support our athletes. And then look, guys, I mean, your listeners probably know this, but yeah, we're set up a little bit different than the majority of collectives, right? We're philanthropic. We're a 501c3. And so how we do this is we partner with local charities first and foremost. And then we hire athletes. We hire the NIL of our athletes to go service those charity partners, right? In-person labor, help with after-school programming, help with homeless kids and their tutoring and after-school reading programs, go ref 7-on-7 games for a nonprofit on the west side, work with the special community at North Shore Special Rec up in Highland Park. I mean, it runs the gamut, right? And so we do it our way. We're proud of how we've done this, how we set this up, how we've embraced it. You know, we're using NIL for good. And so we're just continuing to grow, continuing to compete, and doing everything again we can within this wild NIL bubble to make sure that our programs that we love so much can fight and can compete and sustain their success. And then look, when the rules change again, we'll be ready. We'll adapt and we'll be ready for whatever that iteration looks like. But we're doing our best to keep growing, boys.
You talk about the success of the teams and, obviously the last 12 months in Northwestern athletics has been a roller coaster. How much does, obviously, NIL was critical in getting Boo to come back for this past year. We're seeing just today, Ty Berry, Matt Nicholson announced that they're coming back for one more year. I would have to imagine there is some sort of NIL component to that, among many, many other things. But how much does the success on the field lead to, obviously, the retention, but also lead to, aid in the fundraising side of things?
Sure. Yeah, no, it's critical, right? It's the return on the investment that donors and fans want or need to see, right? I had a lunch the other day and the gentleman asked me, well, what do I get out of it? And I said, very candidly, I said, you go to Brooklyn? He said, yeah. I said, that's what you get out of it. Right. So this isn't an investment that you're going to reap the benefit financially, right, and grow something. But this is about emotion. This is about competition. This is why college athletics forever has been the greatest thing, because all of us have a home. All of us we're alums of a certain institution. That's what draws us back, and that's why we want to watch and cheer and Philip Ryan Field on a sunny day or a rainy day, because it's our place. That's what NIL is. So winning is everything. Right. Winning, one, it cures all. We've had a long year. OK, so winning is critical to everything at Northwestern. But certainly, right, when you're asking folks to help fund NIL, fund rosters, they want to make sure that their dollars are going to help create competitive programs. And I'll tell you, the last 6, 7, 8 months. Yeah, we've benefited greatly from the momentum that our programs have helped us create. Right. And look, we're proud to be small pieces of those puzzles. Right. NIL is and should never be the deciding factor for any kid coming into Northwestern or even making that decision to stay at Northwestern. Right. It needs to be there. Right. We are a critical piece of the puzzle. But, it should never be the end all be all. But winning is critical. It's helped us absolutely ride a really fun wave here, especially the last three and a half months. And really has propelled us, close to hitting our goals here in 2024, and we're only 4 months in. So we're excited. We're excited with the work that we've done. That again, family and friends and alums have helped us get to, We got a lot of work to do, right? And we want to make sure these programs can compete, and we're going to keep going. But yeah, winning, guys, it's the ultimate. It's the only. It's critical.
I love that you use the phrase "this is our place," because I think it in ways both literal and figurative, it takes us kind of where we one of the places we want to go here. First of all, when you're talking about the kind of figurative our place, and this is something that maybe in a second, you know, in a little bit, we can drill down on a little bit more, because I know we had some specific questions about it. But this notion, what you're saying, kind of reflects something that we were talking about amongst ourselves, and I like the way our place kind of ties into it, is this notion that this game can be played the Northwestern way, right? That there is a way that the current landscape can be navigated in a way that is special to Northwestern, reflects Northwestern values. But you must play. You cannot choose to not play the game. We can play it in a way that respects Northwestern athletes, and especially all those things, but you can't sit it out. This is the way the landscape is now, and we must participate, and we must all do our part. And the landscape might not even look like this in a couple of different years. So it's like the time to be sitting down and saying, oh, but what about this and what about this? It's like, no, like, this is the way the landscape is right now. We must play the game right now, and then the game might change. It's funny, on the other place you were talking about, when we think of this is our place, in a more literal sense, and maybe kind of taking us to one of the big things we wanted to talk about tonight. It's funny, earlier you were talking about tracking national law, tracking state law, and I was thinking that today the average Northwestern fan is probably more versed on legalese than they ever have been. Not just national and state, but literally down to Evanston zoning laws and the workings of a city council and all these things. Why? Because of the entire Ryan Field thing, right? And everything, and obviously we're all still in the middle of that and still looking to find out the ins and outs of where we're going to be playing, etc. But as the old Ryan Field finally came down, we know that obviously this turned into an awesome NIL fundraising opportunity, and it's one of the big things that we wanted to talk about with you tonight. So can you kind of take us through how this Remembering Ryan Field fundraiser came about?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Yeah, no, we're excited. You know, we launched yesterday, and off to a great start. We could talk about that in a minute, but you know, I think everybody, I know plenty of former teammates and alums who shed some blood, sweat, and tears in that stadium. You know, plenty had reached out to me kind of leading into those winter months, asking, hey, can we get things? Can we just walk in there? Is there a plan? and my answer, because obviously I don't work there anymore, my answer was, I don't know, right? I don't know. I mean, I was hopeful that there was a plan. I was hopeful that, you know, from the bricks to the sod to the seats to the signs, that there'd be a way for season ticket holders, former players, et cetera, to get their hands on some pieces of history, but you know, ultimately it turned out that there really wasn't. And so, you know, sort of by happenstance, you know, I was actually I was up in the stadium club. I picked a day in January. I said, this thing's coming down soon, and damn it, I'm gonna at least get something. So I know a few people there. We were with socket wrenches up in the stadium club, taking two seats and throwing them in the back of my car. And a couple of days later, our good friend Jay Sharman with Lake the Post, he calls. And I don't think he knew that I knew who he was. We really hadn't interfaced much up until really the past 4 months. I wasn't even on the dang email list, guys. So now I am and loving it. But, you know, he calls. He's like, hey, this is Jay Sharman. I go, yeah, I know who you are. And he just says, I'm literally in Ryan Field. I have a crew. I've hired a crew, and I'm taking things. And I just said, what are you doing? and that was the birth of the auction that we just launched yesterday. You know, he had the foresight and the gumption to say, you know what, I'm going to go take some stuff and we'll figure out what to do with it later. Well, you know, I think some stars aligned and we connected. And he said, shoot, what a cool way to do a couple things, right? One, get Ryan Field in the hands of fans and supporters and alums, and two, help raise awareness and some really nice financial support for TrueNU. And so, you know, we sort of shook hands through the phone and said, let's figure this out, but get out of there before they catch you, and let's get to work. So, you know, they're in the last kind of 6-8 weeks have been planning for this launch. And I mean, everything from three of us moving everything that he had from his, you know, house down to a storage warehouse in Northbrook, categorizing everything. You know, we brought a photographer in to take quality pictures. It's kind of pulling, using relationships, right? People that are in our network who want to help this project run smoothly. They're helping us in every way, shape, and form. And so, yeah, look, yesterday we launched and had a really successful first day. I think we brought in about $57,000 in kind of one day with a couple bigger donations that helped us get there. So we've got a full week here, auction number one, with some really cool items, seats, signs. There's a cool experience we can talk about. And so we're just, again, we're trying to monetize the beauty that was Dyke Stadium and Ryan Field and use it to raise some money to help fund NIL and support these athletes and programs. And it's been a fun project. We've got a lot of stuff coming here spring and summer and shoot, maybe even into the fall. No, kudos to Jay for reaching out, and away we go, boys. It's been fun.
Where should we, so from like a technical standpoint, first of all, we'd be remiss if we did not shout out. You talk about having someone come in and take the photographs. That would be our extreme friend of the pod, Tom McGrath, which is, again, it's one of, Tom comes to all of our tailgates. This is one of those things where we laugh because we come back again to how much of a family this entire place is. And it's like, you feel like you're like, we've had you on a bunch of times. We've had Jay on a bunch of times. Tom, who took the photos. We know it's like, it's what we all love about this family. From a, you know, kind of a logistical perspective, or not logistical perspective, but let's get for the first time, but not for the last time. Why don't you take us through, like, for people who may not know, where can they go to kind of find the memorabilia and the things that that maybe they want to see if they can bring home to their own houses?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, if you follow TrueNU on social, you would have seen obviously some graphics and some marketing over the last couple of weeks. We also have a call it a newsletter. I don't like the term newsletter, but we started a marketing piece called TrueNU News that's been hitting about 1,500 inboxes here for the past 2.5 months. So we've advertised there. But really, the best way to find it, the easiest way to do this is sitting on your couch as you're listening to me say this, pull out your phones and text TrueNU to 76278. Okay, that's the easiest way to access this online virtual auction. It's going to prompt you for a first and last name, an email, and it's going to bring you into the site. And you'll have access to all the items. Ultimately, obviously, if you want to place a bid or make a purchase, you'll have to up a credit card, but you'll be able to see everything right there. And once you're registered once, you'll be registered for all of these, call them mini auctions, right? We're going to have multiple week-long auctions here. This is our April version. We're going to have a May and a June for sure. And then, you know, we'll see how they go. And look, at some point we'll run out of Ryan Field stuff, but we've got access to some cool things and some cool people. And at the end of the day, we've got a platform now to allow us to monetize that with this incredible fan base. So keep your eyes and ears open. So if you register now, if you get in here, you'll get text updates, and we'll be able to send those to you and make sure that you don't miss cool experiences here throughout the summer, cool pieces of memorabilia all the way into the fall. So that's the easiest way. And then of course, if you're a part of the Lake the Post community, you'll see Jay's emails. Follow him on social. He's doing an incredible job of spreading the good word and making sure folks can find this as well.
Jay's trying to make all kinds of magic happen at the same time. We're amazed at how many pots Jay seems to be stirring at once. Might just get us out to the lake for a little lake football if that thing can continue to roll downhill. We'll see. Hey Scuzz, I know we were talking before the pod, and I wanted to make sure you get a chance to ask, because I know there were some specific things that we wanted to talk about, to kind of drill down on some of the, I guess what we were talking about before, the NU specific ways that you're going about tackling NIL, and kind of I suppose you could say sort of the way we sort of feel good about the way you're approaching NIL.
Yeah, I can jump in here with kind of where we were going with that. And it was real specific to, you know, the last time we talked to you, Jacob, it was in we were waiting on the decision from Boo Booey, and seeing, you know, Nicholson and Barry jump on today. And I, you know, obviously hearing that the way you're approaching this is still from primarily this charitable organization approach. But I guess, first of all, from a personal standpoint, I said this on our podcast a couple weeks ago, like there's a gratitude element of this. Like, yeah, I want to see our teams compete. I want them to be fighting with two fists like you're talking about. I'm also just like super grateful for what Boo Booey did for Northwestern and for Northwestern basketball. Like anyone who is squeamish about the idea of compensating athletes, like at the very least, you can look at what transpired over the last, you know, 12 months with him saying he's coming back, all the work that he's put in to improve his game, and then to play this leadership. Like, this dude isn't doing it for the money, folks. The heart on his sleeve, the tears, the emotion, the effort, the intensity of this basketball season is just proof positive of this model works. And Jacob, you described it earlier of like, that's not the reason Boo stayed. It's not NIL dollars, but to be able to help support an athlete who's trying to make that decision, and knowing that other schools are going to be offering compensation of a kind, we have to be in the mix there. So that's my take on it. It's more that like as an alum, as someone who, you know, plans to contribute to True NU in this way, like, it's a reflection of just my gratitude as a fan. You know, you talked about the lunch you had and asking, you know, people want to know, you know, what they're going to get for their dollars. And my personal story is I get so much out of enjoyment out of watching these athletes perform and doing it with Northwestern's name on their chest that, it makes me feel really good to be able to give back, in that way. And it's like, when we were talking before the pod, we were really focused on this retention aspect and this idea of, you know, you already kind of hit it from that point of view that it shouldn't be the only decision point. But as you're looking at the spectrum of how NIL dollars are used out of True NU, can you talk a little bit about how it breaks down across like fresh recruiting efforts versus transfer portal versus retention? Like, is there any special sauce to how you guys are thinking about it? What can you share with us from that front?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I first want to just make a remark about your testimony there, because it was spot on. I think what I tell a lot of folks, especially big groups, and you know, I'll be talking with the football alums this Saturday at their alumni breakfast, and the message is it starts with this, right? If you only know college athletics pre-2021, one, you're going to hate this, and two, you need to forget it, right? You need to forget it. The world that we all knew has changed, okay? It's night and day from the experiences that I had, that my coaches had, right? It's totally shifted. And to some, they just can't get past it. Right, this idea of compensating athletes for, frankly, their talent is mind-boggling to some. And look, I think most of us agree that the way that we're currently doing that, right, this NIL bubble, what this has turned into, is this the perfect solution? Heck no. Is this sustainable? Absolutely not, right? But it is what it is right now. And I think that's back to your point, right? Like, again, these two-fifths, like, everybody's doing it. We need to make sure we are too. And I hate thinking about anything in that way. We're like, well, if they're doing it, we should. No. The rules have changed. We need to play within them. So I think that message is absolutely clear. To answer your question about kind of, the distribution of funds, right? What's the strategy? What's the philosophy? I think, you know, and I've alluded to this in the past and has been quoted plenty of times publicly, but, you know, in 33 months of NIL, I think most places have learned that it's not worth investing greatly in high school kids because they are high school kids, right? They've never been away from home. They've never left their girlfriends back home or boyfriends. They've never had to do their own laundry. And oh, by the way, now they're going to be thrown into the most competitive athletic situation they've ever been in their lives, having to learn playbooks and team dynamics and get yelled at and have to go to class and pay for their parking ticket and figure out where the cafeteria is. It's just not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. So we don't, right? We have a plan to get NIL to every athlete, right? And we're going to get there, right? We've done NIL with athletes from all 19 programs. We've hit that goal. We'll do it again this year. We're well on our way. Our goal is to get to every single athlete that wears the purple and white, who's eligible, right? Internationals, unfortunately, still can't do this, but you know, we're going to do those things. But our focus really is on the current athletes, right? And frankly, on making sure that your best athletes are invested in, right? Because unfortunately today, we all understand the landscape and what's happening. Your best athletes are going to get talked to by other places. You need to make sure that they don't answer those phone calls, right? You need to make sure that you're investing in them the best way you can, to the best of your ability. And look, we all know how the bread is buttered. We all know that men's basketball and football pays the bills. And so we need to make sure that those programs are healthy. And so our focus, absolutely, all 19, but the priorities, right, the big dollars, the crazy markets that we're dealing with right now with transfer portals and recruiting and retaining your best, it's football and basketball, right? So we're heavily invested in those programs. And again, we need to be, right? We need to make sure that with Boo leaving, that this basketball program doesn't dip, right? We don't have time to dip. We need to make sure that, frankly, we get better, right? We need to go to the Sweet 16 next year. We need to make sure Chris knows he has that support and can make sure that this thing is sustained for a long time. And same thing with football, right? What Coach Braun was able to step into last year and take charge of and lead through that crisis was absolutely incredible. And so we need to make sure that he has the platform and the support now to keep growing on that success, right? We've got a new staff. We've got a lot of moving parts within a 300 person football program. We need to support them because the landscape is quickly, quickly shifting. And if you think basketball is nuts, you should hear the football stuff, right? So we've got to help those two. We're going to continue to do this the way that we've done it, right? All 19 programs. Right, investing in softball, investing in lacrosse, investing in tennis, investing in sports where NIL absolutely matters. And I mean what I mean when I say that is it's being used in recruiting, it's being used in retention, and then also investing in some athletes in sports where NIL really hasn't gotten to yet. Right, there are plenty of them, but we need to make sure that our athletes have the support, can pay some bills. And I love what you said about Boo. You know, kind of the gratitude to these athletes. Yeah, look. They get a scholarship. They get food. It's a pretty good setup. The campus is incredible, right? The people they get access to. But at the end of the day, they deserve a piece of this pie. And we're not there yet. We're going to get there. Revenue sharing. I hope it's not employment, but it's talked about, right? This model is going to continue to shift because these kids deserve a little piece of the pie. Well, NIL right now is how we're doing that. And so, our a long-winded answer to say, look, we're about retention, we're about winning, we're about competing, and we're about investing in our best athletes to make sure that Northwestern can stay at the top, and that Kelly and Kate and Chris and Dave and Tracy and all of them can sustain their championship programs and continue to build.
It's funny, like listening to you talk about talking a kid who's at Northwestern has got it pretty, you know, pretty good. And basically being like this pre 2021 thinking, right, that you mentioned earlier, that there might be someone who would be like, well, look, they've already got it like pretty good, et cetera. And on one hand, there's the piece to be like, no, like they need a piece of the pie, exactly like you were saying. And like, we have to find a way to facilitate this. But on the other hand, and this dovetails with what Scuzz was saying earlier and what we've been talking about, and I know, I think a piece of when you talk about like retention, the fact that, well, Northwestern is a special place. And a huge part of that is not just the family and the community and everything, but it's also the value of that Northwestern degree and how special that Northwestern degree is. And I feel like when we look at a lot of these, you know, the athletes and thinking, okay, well, we need to, Northwestern needs to be able to compete in this space and for athletes, you know, who are already at the school, you know, and have, are succeeding, we need to be able to retain them. Do you think it's also, I mean, I feel like we feel this way and you can kind of confirm, but I think there's this piece of it to be like, look, these are guys who are working towards a degree at one of the best universities in the country in an awesome environment. They want to be here. These are guys who want to be here, who in the NIL era are looking for something where they can be like, look, like, I don't want it to be a situation where I have to leave this place that I want to be pursuing this degree that I want so much because the disparity is so big. And I feel like it's almost like a degree of within that framework, working with these guys to be like, these guys are starting from the place that they want to stay. How do we help them stay? Do you feel like, is that accurate? Do you feel like that kind of matches up?
Yeah, I think it's pretty accurate. I think it's pretty accurate, right? I think our programs continue to recruit kids who want to be here, right? Their values align with what Northwestern has to offer. An incredible education, right? And I think when you look across the country, you know, there's a few like us. And I think Stanford does an incredible job. I think Duke, I think Notre Dame, I think Vandy, I think Boston College, right? Kind of those academic peers, you know, those kids go there for a reason, right? And up until, again, 34 months ago, that reason was purely to be a student athlete, right? To go compete at the highest level, to earn an incredible diploma, to get access to the network of alums that really is the differentiator when you're talking about these elite schools. So these kids want to be here, right? So to your point, we need to make sure, and that's, again, this is what we've done. We're making sure that they don't leave, right? Because again, others will call them. And there are, you guys read enough. Sometimes there are offers you can't refuse. Yeah, that stuff happens, right? And that's what we're talking about, especially in those two big sports, right? When whether it's agents, coaches, runners, collective leaders, you name it, when they're calling kids on other rosters, which is the dark side of this industry, they're throwing gigantic numbers at them. And when you're 19, 20, 21, shoot, 22, you're not thinking about the long game. Right? Yeah, you like it here. Yeah, we treat you great. Yeah, we had a good year. But when there's a bunch of zeros after some numbers, to go somewhere else that in your eyes looks about the same, it's hard to say no. Right? It's hard to say no. So we need to make sure that, one, we don't let it get to that point. But two, that we're able to compete, right? That the market is the market. And we need to be able to compete. We need to be able to keep these kids here. And don't give them the option. Don't even let them think twice that, ooh, man, looks pretty good over there. Nope, it's not. So, yeah, it's incredible. They're incredible kids. They want to be here. We need to make sure and do our best to help them stay here.
Oh, well, Jacob, we don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I do want to circle back to this Remembering Ryan Field auction. We hinted at it, we kind of teased at it, but there's a pretty major auction going on with a pretty special experience. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there is. Our sort of highlight experience here for the first auction is with one of our famous alums, right? Late night host Seth Myers stepped up and donated tickets and his time for an item in New York City. And so if you get on that platform, you'll see it. But it's a meet and greet with Seth, two tickets to late night, you know, and all the dates here. We'll figure all this out with the winners. Two nights at the Algonquin Hotel, a beautiful hotel there, just south of Rockefeller Center. An exclusive dining experience. I know it's vague, but look, we're gonna sort of figure this out with the winner. Where do you want to go, right? And it's all kind of part of this plan. And so, really cool experience. And then we throw in two Ryan Field Stadium seats. So the value here is well over $5,000. That's where this auction item has started, and we're hopeful that it's going to grow here. We have a couple bids in, so. As we get closer to the weekend, I think there'll be some competition for this one. But incredible of Seth to help us here and again, donate his time and some tickets to the show. And it's going to be a really cool experience for whoever gets their hands on it. So I encourage listeners to go check out that one. And, you know, we're hopefully going to be able to build a couple more things like this as we go. May, June, we're going to get some of our head coaches involved. There's going to be some one of a kind type of memorabilia, but then also some experiential things with head coaches, some access with different staffs here in Chicagoland for an auction item as well. So a lot more to come there. But yeah, I get into that platform. I register now because you're not going to want to miss what's coming soon, May and June in particular. There's going to be some really fun stuff.
Before we let you go, remind us again, how do we get into this?
Yeah, the easiest way is to pull out your phone and text TRUENU to 76278. You'll get the response right away, couple prompts, and you'll be in. So get in there, register. We've got 300 users registered so far in about 48 hours. That number should keep growing, and check out what we have. There's a lot more coming. This is auction number one. We've got a few more coming soon.
Well, Jacob, thank you again for taking the time to come on with us. Thank you for all the amazing work you're doing with TRUENU in doing, you know, whatever we can do to help keep the program moving forward. And, you know, it's the Wild West. You know, there are no rules, it seems. But you are doing such a great job with navigating those treacherous waters. So thank you for doing what you do and making all this possible.
No, you bet, guys. Really appreciate you having me on, and look forward to doing it again here in a couple months to recap the auction and talk about an exciting football season. But thanks for having me, and go Cats, guys. Thanks.
If you or a loved one is seriously injured by someone else's negligence, hire Kent Simpson of the Simpson Law Group. After over a decade prosecuting murder cases in Chicago, Simpson opened his own firm focused on wrongful death and personal injury cases. He specializes in car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and other transportation accidents, as well as construction accidents, medical negligence, slip and falls, product liability, and more. Millions recovered for clients. No fee unless he wins. The Simpson Law Group. Compassion, empathy, and vigorous advocacy. Go to SimpsonLawGroup.com or call 312-332-2107 for a free consultation, and go Cats. Once again, Jacob Schmidt, Executive Director, TRUENU, always a pleasure to have him on the show. You know, we'll mention that number a couple more times before we get out of here. TRUENU, text that to 76278 to get involved in the auction and get your hands on a piece of Ryan Field.
I just want to say too, before we pivot off of this, I think we're all very very conscious of this, and we've said it before on the pod, but it's like, thank God we got the right man for the job is all I can say. Like, thank God we got Jacob Schmidt going to work on this. I think we talked about it, but I don't think you can overstate how flipping hard that job is right now. Like, and not even just the Northwestern specific piece of it, but I mean, he's got to give his all in a game where the rules change every week, month, day, and somehow navigate all of this at once. And I mean, like, what a crazy landscape. And we're lucky that we have Jacob going to work on this for us.
So shall we talk, you want to talk lacrosse? You want to talk softball? I mean, lacrosse, number one in the country, back on top after dipping a bit with the loss at Penn State. But, you know, you go up against number two Maryland, a Maryland team that has not lost on their home field in how many years?
Well, 17 years in conference.
Yeah.
Right. Well, right now it's a couple of days.
Right.
I mean, Northwestern beat them back in 06 in Maryland, but that was not a conference game. So
that's right.
They have lost at home, but they have not lost a conference game at home in 17 years, the entire tenure of their current head coach.
Absolutely wild. And, you know, Cats just went in there. And
by the way, I think you said this, but I just want to underline it. Number two ranked Maryland.
Yes.
The number two team in the country, Northwestern, went and played at their home where they haven't lost a conference game in 17 years. This weren't no, like, down year for the team that hadn't lost a conference game in 17 years.
And 17, you say, is the same number of goals that the Cats scored in the 17-9 win over Maryland. Only a couple more games left of the regular season. That's kind of wild. And before we get into the heart of it all, the Big Ten tournament happening in Evanston, and then the NCAA tournament, which obviously the first couple rounds will be in Evanston as well. But what do you say?
So for me, when I look at this team, right? I mean, obviously, this is a team that, theoretically, if you wanted to look through the most rose-colored or purple-colored glasses, right, you could be like, well, this team returned an absolute murderer's row. They were the preseason number one team, and it wasn't even close, right? And you could certainly map out a situation where they are 13-0 right now instead of 11-2 right now. And again, that's extreme. We talked about how difficult their schedule is. And as it is, they have two losses. And you know what? It's so hard to wear a crown like this, to have these kind of expectations and note, like Penn State. The Penn State game is a classic example of this. I watched that game and it was, you know, Penn State gave the absolute game of their lives to win by one against Northwestern. And it's like, that's the level of effort you're getting from every single team on your schedule. There are no off nights. That's the caliber. Like, some teams you might just outclass, but you're getting everyone else's absolute best game. You're the biggest game they play all year. And just to have to carry that, it's not going to be a perfect road, no matter how much, you know, how special a team is. But I think
on top of that, this is a sport, much like women's basketball, that once upon a time was dominated by a very small number of schools, and that has changed.
Yeah,
right.
Like, parity is not, we're not at parity, but there are so many more schools that are competitive and are excellent. The thing I've noticed this year is how important home field advantage has become. We talked about it all winter with basketball and the experience of Welsh Ryan. But during the Maryland game, Northwestern, I think fall started on at least four 8-meter shot opportunities against Maryland. And it was the announcers were theorizing it's because it was a sold out crowd. It was a extremely loud sold out crowd and partisan sold out crowd, like 2,500 people. And they're like, I think it's hard for Northwestern to hear the whistle. And they're anticipating the start of the 8-meter attack. And that's like, their false starting as a result. That's just a very crystal clear example of how home field advantage has evolved in this sport. And to see, you know, the way Northwestern was looking at the beginning of the year, tight win over number five Syracuse, tight loss at number eight Notre Dame, at Colorado was a tight game, at Boston College was tight and they ended up beating them. Denver, but then, you know, you start to get into like mid-March and you see them knock off Johns Hopkins, you see them knock off North Carolina, this game against Maryland, that Penn State game that you referenced, John, was like ass cold at night at Penn State. And to your point, that team playing its absolute Super Bowl. So it's just like the the murderer's row that Northwestern has transpired here, but like the sport as a whole continues to evolve, and it makes this even more impressive than some of the extremely impressive things Northwestern has accomplished in the past, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it really hammers home exactly what you're saying, that in spite of all of this, that now, because of the elevation of the women's lacrosse, you do have these hardcore home advantages, and yet Northwestern, even with the issues you were talking about, can go to a Maryland and put down a beat down like that, and go to Boston College when they're number one in the country and put down a win like that. And of course, it's wild. I mean, you're talking Maryland was the number two team in the country. They scored 9 goals. Madison Taylor had 6. Izzy Skade had 6. I mean, it's when...
Go ahead.
When our top players are playing at this level, I mean, when this team is dialed in, and again, it's not to say you can take your foot off the gas, because you can't. I mean, the Penn State game, perfect example. But when this team is dialed in and our top players are playing their games, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're just that good.
Well, and the other, I mean, this team has been an offensive dynamo from the word go, especially with Kuykendall and Skane coming back. But what was really apparent in this game was just how good their defense was. And they just really disrupted Maryland's offense. And the announcements were talking about Northwestern would alternate between two very different types of offenses, like call it zone and man, for lack of a better, it's more complicated than that, but in ways that really forced Maryland to shift on the fly. And it was so excellently executed, and it just shows you the complexity of what this team can do and the different looks that they can bring while being an absolute howitzer on the offensive side of the field. So it's just, there's so much fun to watch right now, and it's going to be a run for the ages here as the year winds down. I believe the magic number for those who have been tracking Skane Train's career stats, I believe the magic number is 12.
I was just going to ask you, she's sitting at 347 goals right now.
Yep, so 12 to break, 11 to tie.
With 2 more regular season games, and then a bunch of the postseason, the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. So definitely within reach.
It's funny, I was just looking, and I was looking at the fact and thinking like, well, their Ohio State is up next, and after that Michigan, and thinking, well, if she gets 6 in each of those 2 games, she'll break it against Michigan. And then I had that brief moment where like, and I feel like a lot
break
of
break a record against Michigan, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Hmm. Yeah. Well, then I had that moment where I think like a lot of Northwestern fans, you have that moment where it's like, just consider like where we are in lacrosse. Northwestern's about to play Ohio State and Michigan back-to-back games, and those two teams are like, oh, crap, we have to play Northwestern.
Well, I might drop – we don't have all the details on this yet, but I might just drop a little tidbit of intel, and that is that there is a group that is pulling together an effort to basically celebrate Northwestern's women's sports. The weekend of May 3rd and 4th. Again, details are still coming together at this stage, but the intent is to gather, to tailgate, attend the softball game on the 4th, and then attend what ideally will be a game featuring Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game on Lakeside Field, Northwestern's host this year for the Big Ten tournament. So again, we will keep folks in the loop on what the story, what the plan is there. But as we've just spent a bit of time talking here about lacrosse and about to pivot to softball, these two programs are just anybody who's been listening to our podcast for a couple of years now knows how much we love these two programs. They're just excellent in every sense of the word, and so much fun to be a fan of and a follower of, and we're excited about this group that's putting together a veritable celebration of these programs and more in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we want to host the red pirate flag. I mean, it's something we've wanted to do for a while, right? Is hoist the red pirate flag for a tailgate for spring sports, right? And like you said, we're still working out the details, but our hope is that we get to finally do that and that we are surrounded by a bunch of other people tailgating that, you know, that matches the same experience that we have for football every year. And these sports deserve to have that kind of tailgate, and we want to do it. So hopefully it's going to come together. But yeah, we'll keep you all posted.
Have you ever thought about building a Westlaw Pirates-like community for your business? If so, we've got your solution. Teamworks Media, a brand marketing and content company, is here to help you tell your brand story better. Better yet, you can work directly with the founder, Jay Sharman, known on this podcast as Like the Posts. The same expertise he's brought to brands like ESPN, the Big Ten Conference, and Northwestern University are now available to you in an affordable way, directly with this Wildcat superfan. Contact Jay directly at 312-446-9435 or jay@teamworksmedia.com to learn how to elevate your brand story. Speaking of softball,
Lord have mercy.
Wow. You know, obviously we talked off the top of this, the beginning of the year, you know, a little bit of struggle, you know, they're trying to find themselves, but I mean, the schedule they were playing was insane. And now they're 9-1 in conference play. They have lost one game since the middle of March, swept Michigan.
Yep. They've won every series.
Which they've never done. And then just tonight, you know, right before we came on, just finished putting the beat down and run ruled Illinois. 8-0. Angela Zedak hitting a Northwestern record 3 home runs in a game.
Absolutely ludicrous. I mean, I think it's so funny that I feel like this is one of those ones where we sort of have to timestamp it, because Northwestern, for sure, they had an up and down start to the season. They went to a bunch of these Titanic tournaments and it kind of came and went, and the offense in particular came and went. And there was kind of that theme that went through several weekends of Ashley Miller throws an absolute lights out pitching performance and the Cats can't plate any runs. And like, there was like this situation of like, where's the offense going? But I think from a timing perspective, as we were kind of talking about it, and I think really as Northwestern Nation was watching it, everyone was very conscious of the fact that when March starts, the basketball team is going to be this all-consuming thing that just drags everyone's attention into it. That the gravity of the basketball team and what they're pursuing and getting into the tournament and then moving is going to be this thing that no one can focus on anything but that. And as all of that was happening, softball just hit this switch. And now I feel like there's a ton of Northwestern Nation coming out of this basketball haze and going, holy crap, softball's killing everybody right now. And yeah, they have been on this crazy run.
I want to circle back to the sweep of Michigan that happened over this past weekend. Those three losses are Michigan's only three losses in conference.
It's wild.
Northwestern has also beaten Minnesota in the one game that they played against the Gophers, who is currently tied for second in the conference standings with a record of 7-2. That game doesn't count as a conference game, as we've discussed previously. You know, Penn State is I don't believe is on Northwestern's schedule here as we go down the stretch, but Nebraska is the second to last series. They are at the moment 6-2, right up there in the top third or quarter of the conference, and that's going to be a pretty fiery series. It's at Nebraska too, second to last series of the year. But this team is smoking everyone right now, and it is so much fun to watch.
We talk about smoking too, and like the who's like at the beginning of the season, we were kind of like, all right, when the offense is going, it seems like the top of the Northwestern lineup are hitting pretty well right now, and that has picked, you know, but where are we going to get the rest of the offense? And a couple of things have happened down the stretch. Multiple players who had trouble hitting early in the season have really broken out. you have someone like Izzy Cunha, who, and first of all, love having another Izzy tearing it up in the spring. That will never get old. She's had breakout performances lately. Of course, then at the same time, you know, Angela Zidek is, we all know about her power and what she's capable of doing, but we're getting peak Angela Zidek right now. And like we said, three Z-Jacks tonight. She was absolutely destroying the ball. But it is really important for anyone who maybe doesn't follow softball really closely, or again, is just pivoting to spring sports right now, to know Kansas Robinson's in the conversation for best second baseman in the nation. That's how good
period.
She is.
Period.
Period. Period. She is, I think, Flow Softball, or one of the softball rankings, I think, has her second right now. She is obliterating the softball right now. She's hitting .473. Her OPS is 1.45. She's slugging .882. I mean, the numbers are insane. She has 9 doubles. She has 9 home runs. She's 27 RBIs. She's destroying the softball right now.
568 on base percentage.
She's number one in the Big Ten in OPS, number two in average, and number three in slugging.
Yeah. I mean, she's destroying right now. I mean, and I think a lot of us being like, all of those people, you know, all of those stars, the super seniors who came back in this unbelievable, well, we know what Kansas was last year, but to lose all of that and have a player who was not part of that super senior group literally be maybe one of the best middle infielders in the country is incredible. And we talked about it on Twitter, but if you, Sydney Supley, who of course we love, we've had her on the pod before, she has this amazing softball interview series going right now. She had Kansas on, and Kansas is just incandescent in that interview. And then you look at some of like the photos from Clearwater, and I remember when we went to games last year and there were, you know, youth softball teams going to the game, and the way they gravitate to Kansas. The kids, to her, she's just incredible. Because she's such an incandescent personality. And you see the way her at the autograph tables, again, at these tournaments, etc., the way she is on the pod. This is a big-time star. This is someone who's going to be a face of softball for the next couple of years. She's everything you want in a softball player and a student athlete. And, I mean, again, it's like to have this team playing this way right now with the couple of individual performances that this team's getting from Kansas Robinson and Angela Zidek, having lost that massive wealth of riches that we were all so attached to over the past 2 years is incredible. That this team has gotten back to this level, and yeah, that they could be heading into that Nebraska series being like, we're coming and we're trying to make it three in a row is pretty amazing.
And, you know, let's not give the pitching short shrift either. Ashley Miller, 1.16 ERA, 0.95 whip, 11-4 with 4 saves. She's
basically the second best pitcher in the conference.
Yeah. She's been incredible. And then, you know, Riley Grudzielanek coming in, you know, 6-1, 3.4 ERA, 1.6 whip. Renee Cunningham, 2.63 ERA, 1.1 whip. You know, the pitching's been awesome.
Yeah, and there were games earlier in the season where things went sideways from a pitching perspective too. And you look at these ERAs and you're like, they're really solid. Why? Because this team is rounded into form at the most important time. The hiccups that they had at the start of the year, this team has just evolved. And it's like, when do you want it? Like, at the end of the day, like, one of the biggest things we're chasing is, I mean, how wild 3 straight conference titles in this sport would be. In one of the most popular sports in the country. And the way they're playing right now and the level that they've gotten to with this pitching and this hitting, you absolutely believe they can get there.
We've got a 3-game set against Maryland coming up this weekend, followed by Return Tuesday, a little home and home with Illinois. They're coming to the J next Tuesday afternoon. And then the 3-game set at Purdue and then at Nebraska before coming home to finish off the regular season with a 3-game set against Indiana. And then, yeah, on into the Big Ten tournament, which this year is in Iowa City. great, great stuff. Very much looking forward to this weekend and going on from there. It's going to be awesome. Real quick, before we go, I did mention off the top, we have some news kind of for us, on a personal note. No worries, we're not going anywhere, but we have just joined up with the College Huddle Podcast Network. John, tell us about what we got going on.
Well, as we kind of said on Twitter, right, this is not the first time in our, how many years have we been doing this now? What is it? 13, 14?
14, 13 and
I lose track.
13 and change.
Yeah, 13 and change. This is not the first time someone has come to us about becoming part of a podcast network like this. I think you're all very aware that, especially when you adjust for distance, we're the only pod in town for Northwestern and have been for a long time. So for anyone who is looking to put together a roster of Northwestern podcasts, we're where they come. I mean, of Big Ten or national podcasts, and they want the Northwestern component, we're where they come. So we've had these discussions before, and for whatever reason, like, it just, we could look and kind of look at the seams of the operation and be like, look, I just don't think that this has legs, and once we're going to be doing it, we're going to be committed to it, and I just don't think this has staying power, etc. And yeah, the folks at College Huddle came to us, and they presented it, and we went back and forth, and when we went back and forth with these guys, we were like, oh wow, this is a major effort. This is a group of guys who are really trying to put together a comprehensive network with a lot of top podcasts covering as many, if not every, Power Five, and a lot of small school podcasts too, really dedicated pods, and cross-pollinate everything, and everyone works together, etc. And we're laughing because we basically got to a point where we're talking and being like, this is the one that we definitely have to do. These people are doing great, great work. This is the group we want to be a part of. And that this coming to us exactly when we are all so exhausted from this year.
I think what stood out to us about this group is two things. Like, one, they've clearly done a lot of legwork to pull together like a broad group, but like what resonated most with us was this perspective that like our show is our show, and they're like, we're not interested in changing your show. There's no mandate that we have on guests from other pods or that we do things differently in our space. The idea is that this is a group that can help each other podcast and connect to fans. And I think we all see this as a way that people that are looking for Northwestern podcasts is another way for them to find us. But it gives us, what we're going to have a conversation with some of the Oregon guys at the end of the month, just, a little bit of a get to know you. There's going to be opportunities for us to pop onto some of the national shows. And otherwise there's roughly 75 podcasts represented here. It goes coast to coast. It's not just, John, you mentioned small schools. It goes through all the big conferences plus some of the small guys, but
Power Four now, right?
Yeah. But it feels like a group that it's about the content and the excitement for covering these schools and recognizing that each entity has, like, our podcast has been informed greatly by the Northwestern community that we serve. And whether that's, the time we spend with somebody like Jacob, or, obviously we have a great relationship with Jay Sharma, and that influences what we put on our show, what we talk about. And, when we hear from you all with questions of, oh, we'll talk about this, or, oh, we'd love to hear about that. Like, we respond to that. And I think, not that other opportunities that have come to us have wanted to change what we do day to day, but the focus has been different. And that's why we're excited about this. It feels like something where we can continue to be ourselves, but there's a broader benefit. Like John posted on Twitter today, an interview that Brooks Barnheiser did with another one of the College Huddle podcast members. And that's like anybody who's looking for a place to go for information on whether it's other Big Ten schools or other schools in other areas. I spent a little bit of time digging into the Cincinnati Bearcat podcast tonight, just because, you know, I'm in Cincinnati. I'm going to try to connect with those folks at some point. It's just a good place to be that still lets us be us. So that was the thing that just really stood out from basically the first 5 minutes we spent talking to this crew.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. They're great. And you know, we are part of these gigantic group message groups on Twitter with everyone in this family. And the podcast space has gotten to the point where these are a lot of veterans. I mean, we count ourselves among that group, but it's a lot of people who are really familiar in this space, trading ideas, trading contacts, like having great discussions, trying to find out ways, hey, you know, we could cross-pollinate this way, And again, we were laughing earlier because of like, in any other year, we would be jumping in head first to this. And as it is right now, we're kind of jumping in feet first only because they're catching us in the middle of one of the most intense 7-8 month stretches of Northwestern sports. And you know what? We also have one of the best lacrosse and one of the best softball teams in the country. So this level of intensity is not going away for a while. And we want to devote every bit that we have to that. But there are going to be some great opportunities coming down the road through this College Huddle thing. And, you know, you'll all see it as we see it, and it should be a lot of fun.
But that being said, nothing is changing as far as what we're doing. We're going to, you know, we'll have access to some new guests. We'll be able to jump on other people's shows, like you guys said. But, you know, nothing is changing here. But it could lead to some really cool opportunities for us to continue growing, maybe reach out to some new platforms, share ideas with other podcasters. You know, obviously the relationships we've made with some other podcasts, Winning Cures Everything, for example, has been incredible. And, you know, looking forward to getting to know these folks and seeing where we go from here. But you just wanted to mention that as we wrapped up for tonight.
I don't know. I loved the Westlaw Pirates before they got all corporate.
Well, anything else to mention before we get out of here tonight, guys?
All I know is I'm not very good at this sort of thing, but all the talk of the True NU text number 762-276, I'm trying to figure out what the right keypad moniker for that is.
I was looking for that too.
So we'll be back with that in future installments. But thanks again to Jacob, and yes, please, everybody, just so you're in the loop, sign up for the newsletter. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to donate. Nobody's gonna come knock on your door. Get more information, get acquainted with what they're trying to do. It's really it's in the best effort or in the best interest of us as fans, and it's in the best interest of Northwestern as an aspiring place for student athletes that wants to be successful and competitive. And it's in the best interest of the athletes themselves. So, at the very least, sign up so you're in the loop. And yeah, we'll be excited to keep talking to you all about the Remembering Ryan Field fundraisers that are going to be coming up in the coming months, like Jacob alluded to.
True NU to 76278. Once again, to sign up and get all the information as it comes available. So with that, we'll go ahead and leave it there for tonight. Head to our website, westlawpirates.com, where you can leave comments and questions. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Westlaw Pirates, and email the show, westlawpirates@gmail.com. Tune in next time as we give our visceral and statistical views on Northwestern athletics. Look for us in the west lot of Ryan Field flying the red pirate flag, because we give no quarter, especially the fourth. For John Lacombe and Eric Skazbo, I'm Sam Walter. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.